And y'all pray for Brother Nick and Miss Emily as they go to Children's Church. All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10. Brother, I appreciate that singing this morning. I appreciate a family that'll sing, a man that'll stand up and sing. Amen? And not just get up here and, you know, whisper, but sing. Thank God for it. I appreciate that. It's good. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, it is hard enough preaching when it's a beautiful day outside. And everybody's looking forward to going out and getting some lemonade and, you know, going out. But it's probably going to be even harder knowing that we're about to eat catfish. So y'all help me out as I preach this morning, and then we'll go eat some catfish. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And I do want to say I do appreciate Brother Denton and his wife being here this morning. It's been a blessing. Sunday school was a blessing. The presentation a moment ago was a blessing. And it's a needed ministry, what he's doing. And so it's a very needed thing, and I thank God for it. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Brother Steve, would you pray and ask God to bless the message this morning, brother? Amen. Amen. So last week I started, or 2 weeks ago, started a small series of messages on the mind and talking about the devil and what he wants to do with our mind. And I told y'all a few weeks ago that the devil, no matter how hard he tries, if you're saved, he cannot have your soul. It's not happening. I could not go to hell today if I wanted to. I can't go. The Bible says that God cannot deny His own. There's nothing I can do to end up in hell this morning because I have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The devil cannot have my soul. But I tell you, if he can't have the soul, do you know what he's interested in this morning? He's interested in your mind. And if he can get your mind, then eventually he can get to your body. And he can affect it. Every time the devil gets to working in a church, it starts with a seed that's planted in somebody's mind. I don't know if you noticed, but during sign language training, do y'all remember what the sign for devil is? Where's that close to? Your mind. And I preached a couple weeks ago on mind games, and that's exactly what the devil does. He plays mind games. He's destroying churches and families and homes and marriages, and I can't stand the devil. I can't stand the victories that it seems like he's trying to get in these homes. But the devil is a deceiver, and he's after our mind. And I preached about mind games and how the devil likes to play those games. And what I want to preach about this morning is the captured mind. The devil's interested in playing mind games with our young people and our marriages and our homes and our churches. But what he wants to do, and eventually when you play a game, you eventually want to win. Is that right? I know that the kids have started playing tag. They like playing tag, and the idea is to go and tag another person and say, "You're it," and all those things. And Elijah was playing with Emma, and Emma is so gullible. I mean, she's only two. She's very gullible. So Elijah said, "Emma, put your head down in the chair. This is base, and I want you to start counting, and I'm going to go hide in my bedroom." He told her. Okay, well, she puts her head down, and she starts counting, and he crawls under the chair where home base is while she's counting above it. All right, and then so she gets done counting, and she takes off running for the bedroom, and when she gets back, he's sitting on the chair. You know, "Where are you?" And they like playing those games. Well, I'm telling you, this morning, the devil likes playing games, but he's not just playing games just for the fun of it. He's playing so he can win. And he's playing so that he can capture your mind. Because if he can capture your mind, he can get to your home and your marriage. And eventually, the goal is for him to get into the church. And if he can destroy a church. You know, a church is only as strong as its weakest members. Why? Because that's an avenue for the devil to get in. Look at Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And then also, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Both places really quickly. And we're going to preach quick this morning on the captured mind. The devil is interested in our mind this morning. Next week, Lord willing, I want to look at the right mind. The right mind that we're supposed to have. But the devil is interested in playing games with our minds this morning. And I'm afraid that he succeeds way too often. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read that one first in Genesis chapter 3. But if you're there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2, the Bible says, "Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these," what? "Dumb idols, even as ye were led." You say, what's a dumb idol? Well, a dumb idol is something that can't talk, amen? I know we talk about someone that's deaf and dumb. We're not talking about teenagers, amen? There's actual problems that people have, and they can't speak. But dumb idols, and you know one thing the devil's been successful at, and you read this verse last week, but he's been successful at entertaining our minds with dumb idols. You know what a dumb idol is? It's something that's made of pigskin called a football. That's a dumb idol. That thing can't. I know I hit a button, didn't I? Talking about football down in the South, amen. But football, that's a dumb idol. That football can't talk. That football can't help you. That football can't save you. And I like football. I like it just like the next guy. I like basketball. I enjoy those things. And I like it, but that's a dumb idol. If I'm going to worship that thing, that's pretty dumb, isn't it not? That's a dumb idol. And they got all these things that the devil's captured our mind with, and he keeps us busy with all these devices, and at the end of the day, they're dumb idols. They cannot do anything for you. But the devil is playing mind games. His end goal is to capture your mind. And we find an illustration here in Genesis chapter number 3 of a captured mind. Look there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And what I want to preach this morning is the captured mind, and how the devil does it is, first of all, he places a thought. That's the very first thing that the devil's going to do in order to capture your mind, is to place a thought. You know, that's all he had to do with Eve, was just place that thought in her mind. Now, last week I talked about the tactics of the devil. I talked about the devices of the devil. And I talked about the ways that the devil plays mind games. He'll use electronic devices and he'll use all these different things to try to place that thought. But first of all, he placed a thought in Eve's mind. And that's exactly what he's going to try to do. He'll place that thought. Someone that gets upset and they leave church and they don't ever come back and they stop reading their Bible and they stop praying and they divorce their wife or their husband or they abandon all these things, it does not happen overnight. You don't go from being saved and born again and washed in the blood to singing the songs, amen, of heaven and singing those things and praising God. You don't go from that to the very next day unless you're putting on an act. You don't go from that and being saved and reading your Bible every day and praying to all of a sudden just being done and the devil's got you. It all starts with a thought. And he got in Eve's mind, and all he had to do was take one little tiny thought, And all he had to do was stick it in there. He just had to get her thinking about it. And then he just backed up and let it work. And that thought was placed in her mind. You say, I talk about all the tactics the devil uses, but do you know what caused her to question? There's some things that the devil placing that thought in her head caused her to question some things. And I'm telling you what, the devil wants you to question some things. Boys that are sitting here this morning, the devil wants you to question your parents and their decisions. That's what he wants. He wants them to get, he wants to place that thought in your head and say, does my dad really know what he's talking about? And he'll try to get it to question those things. And that's what the devil does with young people all over the place. And that's what he talked about the public school system. That's what they're doing right now. They're trying to get them to question whether or not God is real, whether or not God created the heaven and earth, whether or not God is who he says he is. But the thoughts that he placed in her head, he caused her to question, number one, the message. The devil caused her to question the message. Look at verse number 3. Are y'all with me this morning? Verse number 3, the Bible says, verse number 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Is that what God told her, for those that know? Look at verse number 16 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 16. Look at God's instructions. Look at God's instructions. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 16. Verse number 2, chapter 2, verse. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now did God tell them they cannot touch it? Y'all help me out. Did God say, no, he did not tell them that. Now, for her defense, if God told Adam, Adam, you cannot eat of the tree, he might have told his wife, you can't eat it. A matter of fact, don't even touch it. Amen. Like me with my wife, when I say we need to leave at 9 o'clock, I'll really tell her 8:30 so we can try to leave by 9. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen, men. Amen. He might have done that. He might have said, Eve, we cannot eat of that tree. A matter of fact, God said don't touch it. Amen. He might have added to it. But regardless, there, what we find here, he placed that thought in her mind, and she's actually questioning the message that God gave them. And I'm telling you this morning, the devil wants more than anything in his being, he wants more than anything to get you to question the Word of God. He'll do everything in his power to get you to question God's Word. And that's why we have a generation of Christians today, and we got a generation of churches today that do church the way they want to do it, and they have a Christian life the way that they want to do it, and they really don't care what God's Word says. They'll never say that. They'll never say, well, we don't care what the Bible says, but their life leads a life that says, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do what I want to do. Because you know, at the end of the day, we're going to do what we want to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. We're going to do what pleases us. When it comes to standards, when it comes to dress, when it comes to all those things, we're going to do what we want to do regardless of what the Bible says. We're going to do what pleases us. Now, if you want to get yourself in a good position with God, you do what you want to do because it's what the Bible says. Say, I want to dress right, I want to live right, I want to please God, I want to do those things, and you get your will lined up with God's will, and you'll be doing all right. But unfortunately, we got Christians in churches everywhere. He travels around, he knows. He go all over the place, and there's places that in the name of Christianity have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They're denying the power. And we do that in our homes and all those things. And you know what the devil? He plays those games. Not only did she question the message, but she questioned the messenger. The devil caused her to question the messenger. Who was the messenger? That was God. That was God. Look there in verse number 2. Look at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. you know what this thought did for her? It got her to question the messenger. You say, who was the messenger? The messenger here was God Almighty. And it got her to questioning, well, what did God really say? What did he really mean? What was his motive behind it? And the devil, he's a mastermind. You cannot play games with the devil. He placed that thought in her mind, and she started questioning the message. And next thing you know, she's questioning the messenger. You know, the devil will do that same thing today. Get in your mind, and you'll start questioning not only the message, but you'll start questioning the messenger. That God's given the preacher a message, and he's given some of these men and these Sunday school teachers a message from God and these things. And the devil placed a seed of thought in our mind. He's playing mind games with you. He wants to capture your mind, and he does it, first of all, with a thought. And next thing you know, they're saying, was that really what the Bible means? Me and Brother Brian were, our study groups, amen, that we do all the time. And so we were going over some verses and all that and said, hey, why don't you just believe the words on the page? There's some of these other denominations, and they come up with all this crazy doctrine. And you say, hey, just believe the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Just take the Word of God. And the devil starts playing mind games. He gets you to doubt the Word. Then he starts getting you to doubt the messenger. And there's, man, it happens all over the place all the time. And the devil gets in there, starts getting them to doubt the messenger and getting to doubt the method of the preaching, all those different kind of things. And the devil, what he's trying to do, he's trying to play mind games. Not only did he cause her to question the message and the messenger, but he got her to question the meaning of what God was trying to say. Look there in verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, did God say she would surely die? Did God say that? Me a Presbyterian nod, amen. God said that. Verse number 5, for God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what he said? God's a big meanie. He did. You're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to be like him. And next thing you know, she's not only questioning the message, she's not only questioning the messenger, but she's questioning the message that God had for them. God, you say, why did God put a tree there that he didn't want him to partake of? And that's because he gave man a free will, and he wanted man to choose God. He's always wanted man to choose him. Not to be forced to, but to choose him. And so she started questioning it. And all started with a thought. And I'm telling you, that's the devil's game, playing games. He'll do it with young people. He especially wants to get, hey, there's some of you older folks, you're set in your ways. Hey, man, the devil can tell you whatever he wants, and you don't care. You're set. But these young people, he wants to get in their head. He did it to this man right here. And I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but he did it to him. Imagine all the money you could make. Hey, man. He said he's a genius when it comes to math. Hey, he didn't say that, but he said he likes numbers, and he's stingy with his money, amen? God gave him a nice vehicle. God gave it to him. Praise the Lord for it, amen? All these things. You know what the devil does? He gave testimony of it this morning. The devil got in his mind. He knew God was calling him to preach, and the devil got in his mind and put a thought in there like, imagine all the money you could make. Imagine what you could do. And all the devil has to do is place that little tiny seed of thought in there. You know, he might be doing the same thing with some of you boys getting ready to graduate. Imagine what you could do. Imagine. But I'm telling you what, there's nothing wrong with getting a career and working. That's what God wants you to work. You need to work somewhere, amen? And God wants you to do that, but make sure it's in the will of God. The devil gets in there, he starts playing mind games. He'll do it in a marriage. He'll get in there and play mind games. He'll get that wife so paranoid about that husband and what he's doing, amen, and start playing with her mind when there's nothing going on. She'll get on Facebook and get on there and start playing on that thing and all this stuff and seeing stuff going on, and he'll get on there and get playing with those devices of the devil, and all the devil has to do is say, hey, wasn't he acting a little funny today? And she goes, you know what? He was. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it all starts with a thought. And do you know where that thought leads to? It leads to an imagination. That's number 2. The devil puts a thought in there. And that's all Brother Brian, that's all he had to do was put that thought there. She did the rest. She said, God doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to know good and evil. She goes, you know what? I'm going to start the women's lib movement right now. Rip that apple off the tree. Said, we're going to do this anyway. And she took a bite of that and she gave it to her husband. By the way, the Bible says the husband was with her and handed it to him. And he did eat also. And immediately they realized they're naked. Amen. But you know what? He said, the devil put a thought in there that God doesn't want you to be like him, knowing good and evil. She got him to question the message, got him to question the messenger, got her to question the meaning of it. And next thing you know, Eve is imagining, well, what would it be like if I was like a God? You know what the devil does to some of our homes, our Christian homes? I wonder what it would be like if I was married to him. I wonder what it would be like if I was married to her. I had a girl tell me one time, and my wife knows about this, we were counseling and stuff like that, and a young man actually did it to us also, and made the comment, I wish that my husband was like you. Amen. And my wife's back there like, no, you don't. No. You don't know what you're asking. Amen. Ella wouldn't get out of bed yesterday morning. Was it yesterday morning? And she tried to wake me up, and I was still in bed. And she went there, she said, Ella is just like you. Won't get out of bed. Amen. I'm not perfect. But what I'm trying to say is the devil puts thoughts in your mind like they got a perfect marriage over there. And if you were married to a guy like him, and then if the devil can get in there, she can start imagining those things. And then get inside of his head and start imagining, amen, I wish my wife would clean the house and cook food like these other guys. The devil gets in these young men's mind and he gets them to start imagining this life that they could have. One of the most dangerous things in the world is a talent from God. Playing the guitar and singing, and we've got some talent here in our church, and I thank God for it. One of the most dangerous things is that talent, though, because the devil can use that and say, hey, man, I tell you what, you like getting up singing to about 40 or 50 people? Imagine singing to about 500. Imagine singing to about 100,000. Amen? And there's kids that grew up in choirs and independent Baptist churches singing in the choir and singing special music. And there's young ladies that started singing off in church, and they would get there and sing, and they'd worship God and praise God. And Hollywood gets a hold of them, and Nashville gets a hold of them and rips their clothes off and puts them in front of the world. And it started with a thought. The devil placed in their mind, and they begin to imagine, well, what would that be like? And I'm telling you, if you're going to go that route, you've got to give your body to the devil to do that. The first thing they want to do with young ladies is take their clothes off in front of people. The Bible is very clear about modesty and how we ought to dress. The first thing they want to do is take their clothes off or tighten them up on them, amen, and flaunt their body in those things. But it all started off with an imagination. Man, I wonder what it would be like. I'm telling you, it's not any better over on the other side. Amen. That husband that you think is so perfect and got that car and that big house, he's so far in debt he can't do nothing else. Amen. Got to work 50 jobs just to pay for it all. He still leaves his underwear laying around just like your husband does. Amen. But the devil will get in there messing with your mind. I'm telling you, Facebook is a dangerous place. It's ruined Christian homes all over the world. It's a dangerous thing. But it goes with young people. Man, if I just had that girl. I can't stand country music. I can't. They say you play country music backwards, you get your wife back and your dog back and your house back. Play it backwards, amen. But you know them songs? I read the lyrics to y'all sometime last summer or something when I was preaching on music. And there's songs in there where men are describing what they would love to do to that girl. There's one on there. I read the lyrics to it here. Body like a back road. And talking about peeling her clothes off and all those things. And you say, well, you know, that's sweet for me and my wife. Well, yeah, whatever. But what about your teenage daughter that's sitting there imagining what it would be like for some man to have his hands all over her? And the devil's playing with her mind, and she's imagining it. And then you got some boy that the devil's giving false hope to. If they just had that big truck, and if they just had all these things, and they had that, then they would get that girl. And the devil's playing these games, and he's using his devices to put thoughts in our head so he can play mind games, and all he wants you to do is to think about it. Just start imagining what it would be like. It's a false hope. and the devil, he plays imaginations. And I'm almost done. Y'all believe that? Imaginations. Do you know what the imagination turned into? God said, do not eat of it, for in the day ye eat of, ye shall surely die. Did they fall over dead? No. They died spiritually that day. They committed a sin that Jesus Christ, and God knew they would mess up, but he gave them a choice. And he had to send his son, Jesus Christ, to go. And I thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that he died on the cross for our sins. You know, we still have choice today. We still got to choose him or not. And Eve sat there and placed that little thought in her head. And the Bible calls her the weaker vessel because of it. Lest ye be beguiled by Satan. The husband did not get deceived. It was Eve that got deceived. And the Bible tells us that. And she gave to her husband. Amen. He wasn't man enough to say no. Something happened there. But she was deceived. And she got that thing off of there and she started thinking about it. Man, what would it be like if I was like God? She started imagining. And that thought went from an imagination to a stronghold. I say apple. We don't know what it was. Apples in the pictures. Next thing you know, it's a stronghold. Their eyes were open. And they said, we're naked. And they sewed fig leaves and covered themselves. And God got to them. And God knew already. He wanted to know where they were. Adam, where art thou, Adam? And Adam finally had to reveal himself. God knew exactly where they were. He wanted Adam to know that he came out. He said, how did you know you were naked? How did you know that? They're in a stronghold. You know, the devil plays and toys with our mind, and he plays mind games with us. He puts a thought in there. That thought turns into an imagination, and the next thing you know, he's got you bound. There's young men and even young ladies. He preaches in the public schools. He knows this. There's young ladies that are addicted to pornography. It's not just young men. We preach at youth camp. I preach at a couple youth camps and those things and some youth meetings and all that stuff. There's young ladies that are addicted to the same thing. How does it start off? It starts off with just a little look. There's people today that are addicted to drugs. They're addicted to you can be addicted to anything. The Bible said we shouldn't be addicted to any of those things. We should be addicted to the Lord Jesus Christ. All it starts off with is a little thought. And then, well, maybe I'll just try it one time. And there's guys this morning, there's guys that she has to deal with at her job all the time that it started off with just a thought, and I'll just try it one time. And next thing you know, it's no longer a thought, it's no longer an imagination, it is they're bound. It's a strong hold. And there's marriages and there's churches, and the devil has them bound this morning. And there's homes and there's young people. You say, what do I do? Go back to 2 Corinthians. You know what it turns into? The devil's mind games turns into the captured mind. Checkmate. The captured mind. And if he can get your mind, he can get you doing things to your body you would never do. He can get a young lady doing things to her body that she would never do. But now she has to get that next fix. Now she has to get that next thing. There's young ladies that sell themselves to rich men just so they can have anything they want. Amen? So that's awful, Brother Andrew. What happens? It happens. Stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Are y'all there? Can I tell you this, church? The devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. He's the father of lies. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You say, Brother Andrew, how do we fight against the devil? And I'm going to preach another message next week, Lord willing, about the right mind. Talk about the devil playing mind games, the captured mind, and the right mind. You say, what do I do? Well, the Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. You're not going to get any help outside of the word of God. It's not going to happen. You will not get any help outside of the Word of God. You need the preaching of the Word of God. You need the reading of the Word of God. You need the Word of God. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 through 5. This is where we started. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We have to have God's help this morning. You cannot do it on your own. Dr. Phil cannot figure it out. Oprah cannot figure it out. Joel Osteen cannot figure it out. It's the Word of God. It's God. It has to be mighty through God. Look what the Bible says, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Miss Sarah, you come play something on the piano. Brother Andrew, what do we do? I don't know where you're at this morning. God told me to preach these messages. I'm telling you, I'm obeying God. He told me to preach. You say, well, I'm in a stronghold this morning. The devil has played mind games with me, and he's captured my mind. He is torturing me in my mind. He's captured me. What do I do? Mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds. You cannot defeat the devil. The Bible said, it's a stronghold, but it's not too strong for God. But I read a couple weeks ago, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I gave y'all homework to go read where the devil tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tried to play mind games with Christ, and Christ answered him with the Bible every time, with the Word of God. You say, I'm in a stronghold this morning. What do I need to do? Well, you might need to make a trip down here or wherever you're at in your pew and say, God, I can't do it. I need you. I need you to pull this stronghold loose. It's going to start there with, first of all, admitting that he's got you. You will not get any help at all if you don't admit he's got me. I lost. You know, because what the devil wants you to think, he wants you to think that you still have control of this thing. There's some people that they lose control. The devil's won. He's captured your mind. But in your mind, you still think you got it under control. I can handle this. Strongholds. Not only that, you say, I'm right there. What do I do? Man, you got to get a hold of God and ask him to pull down the strongholds. Not only that, but number two in that verse, it says casting down imaginations. So what does that mean, Brother Andrew? That means when you start daydreaming about that thing, you take that thing and you cast it down. I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to imagine it. Hey, I've got to cast God. Would you please help me? You start quoting Scripture. You start reading your Bible. I do not need to think about this. I do not need to think about it. I do not need to imagine this. Lord, would you help me? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And last of all, you say, well, I'm not having those imaginations, and there's not a stronghold. And if you're that person, praise God for it. You know what it says there, though? And this goes for every one of us. I don't care how long you've been saved or how short you've been saved. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean, Brother Andrew? Every time you think something, say, nope, we're not doing that. We're not going there. Why? Because God is not pleased with it, and the devil is a liar. I don't know where you're at this morning, but the devil wants to capture your mind. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. There's some people that have already responded to the message this morning, and thank God for it. If God spoke to your heart, would you pray? You might need to make a trip to the altar. Hey, if you want somebody to pray with you, raise your hand. We'll get somebody to pray with you. Sometimes it takes some folks saying, hey, God, we need your help this morning. God, we need your help to remove the stronghold. God, we need your help this morning. Hey, if you want somebody to pray with you, you raise your hand right now, and we'll get somebody to come pray with you. You might be in your seat. You might be in your pew. You might be praying down here. But I'm telling you, I'm tired of the devil getting victories. I'm tired of him capturing the minds. There's young people leaving our churches by the grove, thinking that they can go to some kind of watered-down, washed-down church somewhere where they can dress how they want and live however they want, and they'll just ease their conscience, and God's nowhere near it, and they do not have the peace or joy of God in their heart and in their life. Why? The devil's playing mind games, and he's captured them. He's captured them. There's anybody this morning, so Brother Andrew, would you pray for me? Would you pray with me? Maybe there's somebody here this morning that you've never been washed in the blood. Hey, you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. Brother Andrew, I don't even know what you're talking about this morning. Why? The devil right now, he holds your soul in his possession. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was sent to redeem His people. He wants to buy. He purchased your soul on the cross of Calvary with His precious blood. And He wants to save you this morning. Maybe you need to come down this morning and say, "Brother Andrew, I need to be saved." There might be someone else that says, "Hey, I just need somebody to pray with me. The devil's playing games. Man, this thing's gone too far." Or, "I've been having thoughts. I preached this message at a youth camp. Nobody came to the altar at all. Not one person." And that's fine. That's between them and God. But after church, a young man said, "Brother Andrew, I need to talk to you. I know this young man. He's a good young man. He stood in the pulpit and preached. He did earlier that week at camp. And he pulled me over and said, 'Brother Andrew, I need to talk to you. I am this close to being just full out hooked on pornography. I'm that close. I'm getting to where I can't handle it no more, and I feel like I have to have it.' He goes, 'I need help right now.'" Took a lot of courage for him to do that. Amen. That was 5 or 6 years ago. To today, that man is preaching, and he's doing a great work for God. You know what he realized? "I need help." The devil wants to get with your mind, church. He wants your marriage. He wants your children. He wants this church more. Hey, we're going soul winning Saturday. And I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to be there tomorrow morning doing everything he can to keep us from doing that Saturday. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to get individuals. And he's going to mess with them. And he's going to try to mess with the church that way. And he's going to do it playing mind games. I'm here to tell you this morning, though, I keep saying it and I'll keep saying it. The devil went through the devil did the same exact thing to Jesus Christ. He tried to play mind games with the creator of the heaven and earth. He tried to play mind games with him. And Jesus Christ answered with the Bible. And you know that same Jesus that defeated the devil? He's living in you if you're saved. And that same Jesus, "Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world." That devil, that god of this world that have blinded the minds of them that believe not, Jesus Christ is greater. Oh, and he can help us, and I thank him for it. There's not one of us that's perfect. If we were to take these screens up here that we just had a missionary presentation, and we were able to put your thoughts from this past week on that screen, you would be so embarrassed you'd probably melt out of this church. I would be. I would not want one person in here to see some of the thoughts I had this past week on this screen. Say, what's the difference? Bringing them into captivity. Bringing every... The Bible said every, Brother Brian. Every thought. If you question every thought according to the Word of God and whether or not God was pleased with it, your thinking will be okay. Every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for His precious Word. Thank the Lord for His grace. Amen. All right, you can look up here. Appreciate your patience this morning. I'm tired of the devil winning. It's happening all over. He goes and preaches. I'm sure he sees it. Every year, Brother Fisher, we go to youth camp. There's less. There might be more younger kids, but some of the older ones that used to come are not even in church no more. I'll ask. There's families. I'll go and preach at some churches, and I'll say, hey, preacher, what happened to so-and-so family? About 6 months ago. They left. I don't even think they're together anymore. The devil's just sitting back laughing. Captured their mind. I got them. Amen. And we do not need to think for 1 minute that we're an exception. We're trying to go soul winning. We're trying to disciple. We're trying to do these things. And we're trying to please God. We're even bigger, a bigger target. I'm nobody. There's been greater men and women than you and I that have fallen captured to the devil. I was joking about getting a t-shirt made that said, "I ran off with the piano player," because she's my wife. Amen. I joke about it, but you know there's preachers all over that fall to that. Not just that, but there's adultery going on in the church. There's fornication going on and all these things. And they keep having church like nothing's wrong, and the devil's just playing games, and he's sitting back, and nobody's being one to God. We're not going to go soul winning if there's things going on in the church where we can't go soul winning. Amen. The devil's trying to play mind games. He's trying to capture the mind. But I thank God for, man, he's won. He has all, I read the back of my Bible, and he's won. We win. I'm on the winning side. Last night we played basketball, and we got destroyed. And then we looked up, and Fisher is playing for the other team. And Ella leaned over and said, "Daddy, do you think they know Fisher's playing on their team?" He went to the winning side, amen? And I don't blame him. But guess what? I know I'm on the winning side. And I thank God for it. I'm going to stay on his side. And it's not going to be easy, but we still win. We know the end result. Thank God for it, amen? Appreciate Brother Denton and his wife. They're actually going to go eat with us, amen? They're going to go get some Alabama catfish. And so they're going to go eat with us. But if you can't go eat, make sure you come by and shake his hand and tell him thank you for being here. Get a prayer card. And you pointing at somebody? Choir practice Wednesday night. Choir practice Wednesday night after church. All right, so praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Hunter, you dismissed in a word of prayer. Shake Brother Denton's hand, especially if you're not going with us, and then we'll go up and fellowship. We'll get the bus cranked up and go up there this afternoon.